I remember back when we used to do family movie night. I picked a movie. I thought it was going to be a really good movie. I bought the movie. It's still at my house. I haven't watched it since. It's called Hachi. It's based upon this amazing true story of loyalty and devotion about a dog in Japan named Hachiko. And Hachiko was a white Akita, and the little pup was born on November 10th, 1923, in a farm near the city of Odate, Akita Prefecture. The next year, in 1924, Hachiko went home with Ueno, gonna say his name right here, Ueno Hideyasuburo, a professor at the Tokyo Imperial University, to live in Shibuya, Tokyo. Well, Hachiko would meet Ueno at Shibuya Station every day after his commute home. You know, the professor would get on the train, he'd travel into work, he'd come back, and there would be Hachiko. Every day, Hachiko would do this. He'd go and he'd wait for Ueno until May 21st, 1925, when Ueno died of a cerebral hemorrhage while at work. He never came back home to the station. But from that point on until his death on March 8th, 1935, Hachiko would return to Shibuya Station every day for almost 10 years to await Ueno's return. True story. The dog's faithfulness had such an impact on Japan that they put up a statue to commemorate Hachiko. And every time I recall that story, as you could probably tell, it brings a tear to my eye. I just can't imagine the devotion of that dog going there every day to wait for his master, and he doesn't come. Think about it. For 10 years, Hachiko would wait for his master to meet him so that they could go home together. And I said to myself, there's a sermon there. It hurts when those that we love die. It hurts when our close friends pass away. It hurts when we know others are hurting. Those are tearful transitions. Those are times when our emotions well up inside us to provoke us to tears. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. God made us that way. Sometimes we tear up, sometimes we cry, sometimes we weep, sometimes we wail. It's a reality. And today, our text talks about someone who dies. And there is weeping. There's weeping. So I'd like to read that text for you. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verses 5 through 37. There we're told that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." And the disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." That's a euphemism we sometimes use, isn't it? Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live again. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have also kept this man from dying?" Now Lazarus, like we talked about last week, we're told in the Gospel of John, the scripture that Jesse read for us today, that Lazarus is sick. But Jesus said Lazarus' sickness would not end in death. But as we read, Lazarus died. But spoilers, he will rise again. He gets resurrected. Still, he does die. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, are left mourning their beloved brother. But what's interesting about John's record of what happened in our text is that the focus isn't so much on Mary and Martha and those mourning his death, but really on Jesus. And so in verse 35, we're focusing on Jesus weeping. And we're told Jesus wept, just those two little words. And I'm sure we all know that that's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? But that short verse has so much power, so much impact. It's not just the brevity of that statement that gets our attention. It's the fact that Jesus wept. You think, but why? Well, Jesus wept because death is real. Death is real. We know that ever since Adam's sin, death has entered into the world. And so, like Romans 6:23 reminds us, the wages of sin is death. And that means that death is now the inevitability of all life. Think about it. You know, we will all die unless Jesus comes back before we die. And when someone dies, of course, we feel a wide range of emotions. We feel loss. We feel anger. We might even feel resentment or regret or a combination of those emotions or some that I didn't even mention. But again, people aren't the only ones who die. Sadly, some congregations die. Death is real. So Jesus wept. After all, it's only natural. We all weep from time to time for a wide range of different reasons. Some people weep when they're happy. Some people weep when they're surprised or excited. Most of us, though, we just weep when we're sad and we're hurt. Maybe it's a hurt or sadness we feel for ourselves, for someone else. Just like Jesus, we weep. Again, taking a look at our main text back in John chapter 11, Jesus shares some words of encouragement with Martha in verses 25 through 27, saying, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Then she said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Now, maybe the emotions of those weeping were moving Jesus, or the reality of his own imminent death was causing him to stir. But when Jesus saw Mary weeping, starting in verse 33, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, the text says he groaned in spirit. And you know what that sound is. That's that painful sadness that wells up within you. And we're told that he was troubled. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" He said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Jesus loved Lazarus, and he loved Mary, and he loved Martha. And he loves you and me too. And of course, Jesus also loves his church. He always will. And just like Jesus wept with Mary and Martha for Lazarus' death, he weeps for us too. He weeps with us because those that we love have passed. Jesus, I believe, also weeps when congregations pass. Now, if Jesus were just an ordinary person, we probably wouldn't be talking a whole lot about the fact that he wept, because everybody weeps, right? But the thing is, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 3:16. Jesus is God in the flesh, John 1:1-14. And all throughout those chapters in the Gospel of John, leading up to the events here in chapter 11, we can read about Jesus' authority, and we can read about his power and his love and his mercy. Just think about everything that Jesus did, the way he taught and prayed, how he cleansed the temple, how he calmed the storm, how he miraculously fed the multitude with a small meal, a couple of loaves and fishes, right? Jesus heals the sick. He causes the blind to see, the lame to walk. He does all kinds of amazing and powerful things. He does things that we would expect the Son of God to do. But here in John 11, Jesus does something different that some people would think God wouldn't do. Jesus weeps. Just think about what that means. Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. And because of that, some people think that, hey, well, a deity ought to behave differently. Jesus should know better, right? What I mean is, people tend to think about God's little g, maybe, little g, sitting off in some far-off land, you know, maybe in some magical celestial aura, throwing lightning bolts and dropping pianos on evil people or something. And because of that kind of thinking, you know, when we look at Jesus, people ask, well, what kind of a God gets so close to his subjects like that? What kind of a God shows that kind of emotion? Isn't that weakness? What kind of a God weeps? Well, the one true God of the universe does. Yahweh does. Jesus does. That shouldn't come to any kind of surprise to those who know God. And that's because centuries beforehand, the prophet Isaiah told the people he was writing to, and of course you and me by extension, in chapter 53 and verse 3, 3 that the Messiah would be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Again, here in John 11, 35, Jesus wept. Now, why Jesus wept on this particular occasion sheds some important light on what we go through on a daily basis. As we remember that our Lord, who also weeps, is there for us, and he will help us to get through whatever valley of the shadow of death that we're going through. Jesus wept because someone had died. His good friend Lazarus was gone. Jesus had been in Lazarus' home many times, we're led to believe. They had broken bread together. They most likely laughed together and worked together, you know, maybe joked together. Lazarus and his sisters were like family to Jesus. Then Lazarus dies. And his sisters, Mary and Martha, are grief-stricken. And Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps with them. When I think about congregations that face death, like you could say we're facing, the times that we have gathered together in this house and how we have broken bread together and laughed together and joked together and worked together, when the time comes, we'll weep together too. It's a tearful transition. Joy comes in the morning, right? Death is real. But sometimes our mind plays tricks on us. We don't want to acknowledge it. And you know what I mean? We keep telling ourselves, well, it's just a dream, and tomorrow I'm going to wake up and everything is going to be fine. But it's not. It's real. And we know that. We just wish it wasn't real. All of us someday are going to fall victim to the Grim Reaper, if you will. That means, again, that everyone that we know and care about is eventually going to pass unless Jesus comes first. So we should be praying that the Lord comes now, right? That's what the early church did. Let's do that. We got to do that, you know? And I think that as Christians, you know, we all know the reality of death. We all know the reality of the Lord's coming. But sometimes I think that we might think that, I don't know, since we know that death is coming, that it shouldn't hurt as much. People will say that to us sometimes who either believe in our faith or want to mock us. Aren't you a Christian? Don't you know you'll see him again? Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean that we can't cry.
Amen.
Prolonged illness isn't a way to prepare us. All of us who have loved ones before that have gone through extensive illness, that doesn't make it any easier. Death, either way, is an unwelcome surprise, even when we know it's coming. Even for believers. But that's a strange thing about death and dying. It hurts because it seems so unnatural. And while we know that it happens and it's a part of what we know as our reality now, we know that God has put eternity in our hearts. We know that God has designed the human spirit and soul for a yearning for eternal life. We know that the first people were not made to die, but were meant to live for eternity. But something happened back in the Garden of Eden, right? And everything changed. Sin and death entered the perfect world that God had designed. And therefore, in some ways, that makes death unnatural. But again, it's the reality that we know. People do die. Friends of Jesus do die. So Jesus wept. But Jesus wept not because someone died, really. Jesus wept because someone he loved and cared about died. In other words, Jesus wept because of love. Looking back at our main text again, this time in verse 36, did you catch the reaction of those who saw Jesus weep? They all said, see how he loved it. You know, people will do that sometimes. You know, someone might pass away and people have different reactions, and those who weep the most tend to say they must have really loved them or had a great relationship, something like that. You know. Sometimes even the death of strangers, though, can touch us. But when someone that we love leaves us, it's an altogether different matter. And you know what I'm talking about. The more we love, the more it hurts. And so sometimes when we see that transition approaching, we tend to distance ourselves because we don't want it to hurt. But don't do that. Don't do that. Don't try to make the relationship bad before it ends so it doesn't hurt so much. People do that, you know. They do it with the church too. They do it with a lot of things. Never distance yourself. Draw near. Jesus wept because people that he cared about were hurting. Now, next week, spoilers again, we're going to read about how Jesus brings Lazarus back to life and the celebration that happens and the impact that it happens on community, right? And knowing Jesus like we should, we know that Jesus knew that he was going to bring Lazarus back from the dead from the beginning. And you think, well, wait, why did Jesus weep? Well, again, because of the compassion that he had for Mary and Martha. Because while he was deity, he was still human, and he still had those emotions. You know, and we know the same thing too, right? About death and dying as believers. And sometimes we grieve for ourselves. Sometimes we grieve for others. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. It's what we do as family. Now, I know that as Christians, again, we understand that the death of a believer means reward and blessings. I love the fact that we've seen a bit of a change in how we handle memorials and funerals. They're no longer these drudging, sort of depressing things, but we've turned them into celebrations of life because that's what it is. But still it hurts. It does. We still grieve. We still weep. But that's okay. Because if Jesus knew about the resurrection and wept, so can we. That said, we don't grieve again for those who have died in the Lord. We rejoice because they have received their reward, but still we hurt and will hurt with one another, just like Jesus does with Mary and Martha. There's this old story that I know I've shared and you've probably heard. It's about a little girl who was late coming home from school one day. And as we would imagine, her mother asked her for an explanation of why she was so late. And so she told her mom that a friend of hers had fallen and skinned her knee on the way home. And she says, so I stayed and I helped her. And the mother said, well, what did you do to help her? The little girl said that I sat down and cried. But think about it. Sometimes that's the best thing that we can do. There aren't words. There aren't words. And so we choose instead to weep. That's what Jesus did. That's what we can do too. And so Jesus had wept. He wept because someone had died. And while death is the reason enough to weep, Jesus wept because someone that he had loved had died. But Jesus also wept because he knows that we can't see what he sees. And so Jesus wept because we can't see. Now think about what Mary and Martha know. They know that their brother is dead. As a matter of fact, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. That's a long time by any standard, okay? He is now entombed, stone rolled in front. And then Jesus shows up. And both Mary and Martha say in verses 21 and 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I usually say that with a bit of conviction and a little bit of anger in my voice because that's how I would say it. I think that's what we say too when those that we love died. Lord, if you just would have answered my prayer, he'd still be alive. And so while they believe in Jesus and they apparently believe in the resurrection, their understanding of the resurrection only applies to the final judgment at this time. But Jesus lets them know that he is not only the resurrection in the last days, but now. So he tells Martha in verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now Martha's answer was yes. And I'd like to think that all of our answers here would be yes. But sometimes when we ask that question of others, they say no. And that's because there are people who simply don't believe that. And so they weep. And you've seen it happen. We've all been to funerals where it's not a celebration of life, but it is downright depressing with people crying like there's no tomorrow because they don't believe there's a tomorrow. They don't believe in an eternal life. They don't believe in the resurrection or the judgment to come or the future of our loved ones or an eternity in heaven where all is peace and joy. No wonder some people grieve so hard and so hopelessly. But the thing is, Jesus knows that some people refuse to believe. And he knows that as long as people are without faith, then they're without hope. And so Jesus invites all who will to come. Over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, he tells us to come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls us to come. And when people choose not to come, I think he weeps. The thing is, life doesn't have to stay the way it is. It's never too late to turn around and repent and come to the Lord. As long as you live, it's never too late. As long as there's life, there's hope. The Lord will welcome any that turn to him seeking forgiveness and hope. Now, for the Christian, the answer again, do you believe this is definitely yes. But believing again doesn't mean seeing. And that's because even in our faith, we still can't see all that is in store for us. We can't. We have to be like Abraham, that when he was called to go, we go, not knowing where we're going to end up. Yeah, we know that heaven is real. What's it all like? We can read as much as we can, but we still don't know. It's like getting a description of a movie that someone saw and you try to picture it in your head and you have an image, but what your idea is and what reality is are often two different. The context of John chapter 11, let me back up here a bit. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul quotes from Isaiah reminding us that eye has not seen nor heard nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So in other words, again, we really can't imagine what God has in store. We can imagine, but we really can't know for sure until we get there. And in the context of John chapter 11, Jesus knows that we can't see right now, but someday we will. Someday we will. One day that veil will be lifted up and the dark clouds of sorrow will evaporate and we will all see those who have died in Christ are in fact still alive. And those who have trusted in Christ to take away their sins and be forgiven, well, their sins are gone and forgiven and they're alive forevermore. And as Christians, we all look forward to that day. We look forward to the fulfillment of that promise in Psalm 50 and verse 5, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Man, I long for joy. We've been weeping too much. We've all been weeping too much. Weeping this past week for those that we care about that have passed. Weeping for things that are transitioning. Someday we'll all be gone. I'm standing where many have stood before that have gone to be with the Lord. Someday, as we know, this congregation will be gone. And tears will be shed in grief, just like they have in the past for those who've gone on before us. But those faithful that have gone on before us, we know where they are. Doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean we quit. It means we move on and we work harder. Someday the Lord will rise again. Someday the Lord's church will be gathered together for an eternal celebration in heaven, and the congregation of the Lord's people will never cease. We can believe that with confidence because, like Revelation 21 and verse 3 and 4 tells us, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There should be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What a wonderful time that will be. But until that day, we live in faith, day by day, sometimes minute by minute, knowing that as we weep, the Lord weeps with us, hoping for the day that our tears of sorrow will turn to tears of joy. And so whether it's the death of a loved one, or even the death of a possible congregation like we're experiencing, it's okay to expect a tearful transition. Because again, Jesus wept. Jesus was the Son of God and is, and he wept. It's okay. It's okay for you and me to weep too. But remember, in Christ, no matter what, we will see each other again. So it's not goodbye, it's aloha, you know. And so until then, we wait for the Master to meet us, so that we can all go home together to be with him. And if there's anyone not a Christian, well, you can have that same hope and promise too, simply by confessing your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then make the commitment to enter into his covenant promise by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then rising up out of the water, well, then you're born again to walk in newness of life, to be there to encourage one another and to worship the Lord together until Jesus comes back again, or we all go to be with him. For those watching online today, if you would desire to put Christ down in baptism, we invite you to reach out to us and we'll send someone to you to help you out so that you too can be in Christ. For those of us here, if there's anyone as always who needs to respond to the invitation, you're welcome to come, as together we stand and sing the song that was selected.